Well, hello there. My name is Patricia King, and I want to welcome you to our webinar on Coached into Financial Success. And I trust that you're going to enjoy this time because I'm enjoying being with you. And we know that through the different signups that we have many of you on from all over the world. And it's just wonderful to have you in this. And I trust that the seed of the word that will produce faith within you tonight will create a ripple effect within your life that will affect every aspect of your life from this time forth and forever. You know, one word from the heart of God can set you into a destiny movement that will just bring fruit on every side. And so that's what I'm believing for you as we study this subject. Now, I want to chat just for a moment, and I'm going to bring this up a little later as well because I think it's really, really important, is that Jesus taught within the Gospels that there's unrighteous mammon and then there's true riches, and they're not to be confused. Now, the word mammon, when you see it in the scripture, it actually talks about the world's riches or the money system. And you need to understand before we go any further within this webinar that there is no money in heaven. Okay, so money isn't even really a kingdom word at all, but it's very valuable for you to know that God wants you to prosper in that realm, and I'll tell you why in a few moments. But you need to understand that you cannot idolize it. It's not something that you can stake your life on. It's not something that you should pursue a devotion unto to just get more money, because it is of the worldly system. It is not found in heaven. You will not find money in heaven. And so unrighteous mammon, though, has a really important place within your life, because Jesus said that if you are a good steward of unrighteous mammon, then you can be a good steward of true riches. He said, if you're not faithful with unrighteous mammon, then how can you be entrusted with true riches? So we know that the scripture says it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's not money itself that's the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Therefore, we have glimpses through the scripture to teach us that there is a potential idolatry that can come when we get our eyes on money. And yet God says, if you steward what is of this natural essence well, if you steward it well, have a right heart towards it, look after it properly, then you'll find keys in there for stewarding true riches. And we're talking about kingdom wealth and kingdom power and kingdom ruling and reigning, and it'll prepare you for the greater things. But we want to talk about money because Jesus wasn't really afraid to talk about money. I'll give you an example, is that Peter was talking to some people because they were saying, you know, does your master pay tax or not? And they're trying to trip him up, you know. And so Peter says, well, of course my master pays taxes, you know, not a problem, he does. And Jesus pulled him aside afterwards and said, Peter, I need you to understand something, you know, like I am the Son of God. And so do I really need to pay taxes to a worldly system when I'm of a greater system? I am of royalty, of the king's house. And so therefore the son is exempt from that. But he said, so that they're not offended, I have no problem. Let's go pay it, you know, and just go to the fish's mouth, take out the golden coin that you'll find in that fish's mouth when you catch it. And then you can go pay what you owe, what they want from me. We'll just give it to them, because he wasn't afraid to talk in those terms, but he wanted Peter to understand who he was. And God wants you to understand who you are. You are a kingdom son. You are a kingdom daughter. You are actually exempt from the world system, but he's not afraid to have you in the world as long as you know you're not of the world, that you are separated. You need to understand in your heart you're different from anyone else on the face of the earth. I always tell people that I don't pay tax. I give tax, you know, because I think in a different system. So even though I'm going to be a good steward, and I'm going to, you know, go through what the natural law, you know, of the land requires as far as accounting. But in my mind, I know I'm not really subject to the world's laws. I'm subject to a greater law, which is the law of God. But in that, I'm not afraid to bless those that are in this nation with giving them money to help run the taxes. But I look at it in my mind, in my mindset, I'm thinking like a daughter of the king, that I'm exempt because I'm the daughter of the God that created the whole universe, and his system is above other systems. So the system of the world is an inferior system to the system of God. I hope you understand that. So I honor, I don't want to bring any offense or anything like that. So I honor the laws of the land, knowing though that my God's laws are greater than the laws of the land. Therefore, if the laws of the land, for example, said, you know, you are not allowed to preach the gospel anymore in this nation, I would go ahead and preach it anyways, because my God's law says go and preach the gospel to every creature, and that's in every nation. He said make disciples of the nation. So I'm not going to serve an inferior law when my superior law tells me to do something else. So God wants you to think in a superior level, and especially when it comes to finances. He wants you to know, because he's going to coach you into financial success. That's easy for him to do. But before we talk about different principles that will get you there, he wants you to understand the right perspective, because finances in themselves are actually nothing. They have nothing to do in that sense as far as your ability to make exchange in the kingdom of God, because we don't have a money exchange in the kingdom. We have a faith exchange, okay? But he's going to use your stewardship of the area of finance, which is unrighteous mammon. He's going to use your stewardship to prepare you, to develop you, to prove you, to test you in your ability to handle true riches. So he's saying, well, if you can handle this little, you know, unrighteous mammon, just this little worldly thing, if you can handle that with a kingdom heart, with kingdom perspective, with authority, with faith, with good stewardship, good budgeting, good stewardship, good care, then I can trust you with big things in the kingdom. So it's actually really important that you understand that God wants you to prosper financially, not because finances are anything. We shouldn't have our focus on it, but because it's a stewardship issue. Okay, so God's not afraid of blessing you financially. In fact, he will bless you financially, but he wants you to know before anything else, you are not to love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. It is the world's God. Everything in the world is, you know, fueled by that love of money. All the evil, he says, it's the root of all evil, the love of money. So, right off the top, if you're going to be successful financially as a kingdom son or daughter, you cannot have any love for money in your heart. You cannot let money be an idol in your life or get impressed by it. You know, sometimes people are impressed with a person because they say they have lots of money. I've come to realize a lot of times when people say they have a lot of money, they actually don't. And you know, people who have even taught on it before and telling people how to get rich quick and that end up bankrupt themselves. I'm very aware of that, not saying for everyone, but it does happen. All I'm saying that for is to say, don't esteem people more than others because they have great wealth or they have money, okay? Because that is not the plumb line. But God wants you to feel comfortable with being blessed in the area of finance so that you can be a good steward, but it's ultimately so that you could steward greater things in the kingdom of God. And he says, if you are unfaithful with the unrighteous mammon, then you won't be faithful with true riches. So it works the opposite way. If you are then faithful with the righteous mammon, you will be faithful with true riches. So with that in mind, I want to discuss three realms. And you are living in one of these three realms. So the first realm is the realm of poverty. The realm of poverty is the realm of not having enough. And we're going to talk about some more of that later because God wants you out of that realm. It's the realm of not enough. And you might want to write out in some notes. I like to help people to find out, like, what does poverty mean to you? What would, you know, if you were under a poverty spirit, what would that look like? Now, my husband and I, years ago when we first started into a full-time preaching ministry, the Lord asked us to live with no visible means of support and that we weren't to tell anyone about our personal needs. In fact, we still don't. And we weren't to go to any government institution for help or make appeals for our personal needs. So we still don't. Like, we'll put a vision out for the ministry, for different mandates that God has. But on a personal level, we don't go and solicit funds or anything like that. And I'm not saying that's wrong to do. I'm just saying that God told us not to do that. And so we were living with no visible means of support. And they were lean years, 5 years of a lot of warfare, a lot of, you know, standing our ground on the Word of God, humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and just being faithful with the little bit that we had. And even though we were poor and that we had only, you know, a little, we never engage in the spirit of poverty. We have the spirit of poverty come against us, but because we always lived within our means, because we didn't live beyond our means, we actually always had enough. And so we weren't in the poverty level. So you can have very little, but still not be in a poverty spirit. We'll talk more about the poverty spirit later, but the poverty spirit is very degrading. It is like it controls you. It puts you into a slavery, and we'll talk more about that later as well. But the poverty spirit is when you do not have enough. Then there is a realm of mediocrity, and that's where, you know, you're just kind of spinning wheels, and you just have enough. That's all. Just enough. That's all. Just enough to get by. You're barely getting by, but you are making it. And that is mediocrity. And that's kind of where my husband and I were living at that time. We weren't in the realm of poverty, even though we had poverty knocking at our door, temptations all the time. But we just had enough. It is the land of just enough. And then there's the realm of prosperity. And the prosperity realm is the realm of more than enough. And you might want to write out, like, what would prosperity look like to you? Because prosperity that we're going to see in a few moments is bigger than just finances. In fact, in the days to come, when we see some shakings going on, we might not even have a financial system to even operate and function in. And yet we as kingdom people will still be prosperous. So we're going to look at that tonight as well. But when we look at Israel, first of all in Egypt, then in the wilderness, then in the promised land, we actually see the identification of these three realms, because when Israel was in the land of Egypt, they were actually living in the realm of not enough. They didn't have enough. They worked so hard for so little. They couldn't really get by. It was very oppressive. They were slaves in Egypt. Now, when they got delivered out of Egypt, they were no longer slaves. They didn't have that bondage of poverty on them. They were now in the wilderness, and they were being supplied for by God, where they had enough every single day. They had enough manna. They had enough water. They had clothing that didn't wear out those 40 years. So they had enough. They were in the land of just enough. They had enough for every day. But God was leading them into the promised land, which was to be the land of more than enough. And when we live in the kingdom realm with Jesus as our king, the God El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the God of abundance, prevails over us and provides in abundance what we need. And that is the realm of prosperity. That is the realm that I prophesy you into. God wants all of his people to be in that prosperous realm. Now, a lot of Christians don't like talking about prosperity. And I say, get over it, because deep inside, every believer wants to prosper. Why? You were created for that. You won't find poverty in heaven. Heaven is not a realm of not enough. It is not a realm of just enough. Heaven is a realm of more than enough. Jesus came that we would have life and that we would have it abundantly. That's more than enough. And all through the Bible, God talks about his sufficiency and how he will give more than enough, you know? And so God wants you to start thinking in your mind the truth concerning prosperity, that prosperity is good, prosperity is from God, and God wants all of his children to prosper. Now, one of the challenges that we have in communicating God's heart concerning this is a lot of times even Christians equate prosperity with their financial status. And it actually doesn't have anything to do with your financial status, although it can include that, but it isn't based on that, true Bible prosperity. And so many Christians think, well, if I'm going to be prosperous, that means I have to love money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Again, I'm going to say money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you're living your whole life, if your whole goal in life is like, oh, I can hardly wait to do this and this because then I'll have money, then I'll be rich, then I'll be free, then you are chasing a carrot on a stick because it's a false idol that you will probably never achieve. And even if you did, you would find that carrot on the stick, that God that you have been serving and chasing after all these years will control you to even keep what you have. And it changes people. In fact, people that get a lot of money, like in a big lottery or in a large amount of inheritance, a lot of times it changes them, not for good, but for, like, you know, there's stats on this. It changes them for evil. And so if you can get the love of money out of your mind, and prosperity meaning much more than money, even though it can include money, but it's got, really, prosperity has nothing to do with how much money you have. So we're going to look at that in a while. But I would like you to ask yourself right now, what realm are you currently living in? Are you living in the realm of not enough, that poverty realm? Because poverty is a spirit, and we're going to address that tonight. I'm going to drive that thing right out of your midst, because God does not want you entangled with a spirit of poverty. He hates poverty. And I've been a missionary on many, many fields in my 36-plus years of serving Jesus. And I tell you, in these fields where there's a lot of poverty, it's so gross. Oh, the things that go with the poverty spirit are awful. They're degraded. They lose the respect and honor. There's not enough food. They're sick. They're oppressed, depressed. All those things come with it. Corruption moves in, and actually greed moves in when there's a spirit of poverty. So connect with what God has given you in your heart, which is a desire to prosper. He put that in you. Don't deny it. Don't push it away. Don't get it confused with the love of money, because Bible prosperity has nothing to do with the love of money, but God wants you prosperous because the prosperous of the earth in Christ, I'm talking about when you are a good steward of the unrighteous mammon, you will be able to transform nations, bring the poor out of their darkness, and help many peoples and be a blessing in the earth, you know? It has a lot with the resources you have to be able to give. My husband and I are so blessed, not only financially, but with different, you know, assets that we have, and our giftings have grown and that. And so we can bless more people. We're a bigger blessing package now than we ever have been in our entire life, because we've been stewarding what God's given us, including money, including houses, including lands, including, you know, spiritual gifts and spiritual endowments and, you know, different anointing levels. We've been trying to steward those things so that they increase every year. Why? So that we can be a bigger blessing in the earth. That's what we're here for, to glorify Jesus. And we are glorifying Jesus more today than we ever have in our life because of the stewardship of what's been given to us. And it's been slow and steady this increase over many years, and I just love it. And I expect to increase all the days of my life. I'm not going to like hit 70 and then go down or something like that. No, no, no. I'm planning on becoming more and more prosperous, filling the earth with more and more glory, blessing more and more people all the days of my life. If I celebrate 100 years of life, it'll be the most prosperous year of my life, in being able to help people and spread His glory. And God wants that for you. So identify, are you in a realm of not enough right now, a realm of poverty? Because if so, I decree your exit from that land. You're going to walk right out of it tonight. The second one is maybe you're just in the realm, the land of just enough. So you're getting by, you got your bills paid, you know, you're spinning wheels and everything. You're not really getting ahead, but you do have enough. So you're in the land of just enough. It's mediocrity, you know, but God wants you, even though that's a great realm to have your needs met. That's awesome. But do you know that there is a realm where you don't have a need, but you help others meet their needs? And that is the realm of prosperity. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, that your God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So He promises to meet your need. That's awesome. That's in the land of just enough, having your needs met. But I like living in the overflow. I like living in the land of more than enough. So when our needs, you know, when we have our needs fulfilled, I like to stretch and say, okay, let's create another need, so that we can see God's blessing meet that need. And so, you know, we'll talk more about the stewardship and the discernment of that later. But God wants you to just evaluate right now. Are you in the land of not enough, the land of just enough, or the land of more than enough? And if you're in the land of more than enough, it's a land of increase and multiplication. So you don't just stay where you are. You will multiply into new levels if you steward that realm well, okay? So, what realm do you currently live in? And write out on a piece of paper, what realm do you want to live in? What realm do you want to get into? And hopefully you'll all want to be in that realm of prosperity. And you actually get to determine your realm. Did you know that? You determine your realm through your beliefs. What do you believe, especially about Bible prosperity? Because if you believe a lie, you won't be able to engage in that realm of more than enough. Even if you had lots of money, you wouldn't be able to do it. You know, you wouldn't be in the land of more than enough because your belief is telling you that's bad, that's no good, you can't have that. You know, maybe your belief is, it's, you know, prosperity is only for certain people, but it's not for you, you know. And so what are your beliefs about financial success? What is your beliefs about prosperity, about abundant life? And so your beliefs, your choices, and your actions determine which realm you live in. You get to create the realm. And what choices have you made? You know, if you go back through your life, and you'll be able to see certain beliefs that you had and the choices that you made at different times in your life and the actions that you took produced the place where you are right now. And it's never too late to make a wrong right. You might have made many mistakes in your life. It's never too late to make a wrong right. And especially when you have the intervention of God's dunamis power, His miracle working power. Amen? Now, I want to read to you a scripture that I'm jazzed over. I've been meditating on this scripture now for a couple of weeks. And I just love it. It's amazing because God's been speaking to me about His grace. And His grace is His favor towards you. He's going to favor you to come into prosperity and success. Okay, He's going to favor you. In fact, He does favor you. That's what His grace is. But His grace is also His divine influence upon your heart that enables you to choose everything right in Jesus. It empowers you to choose what is right in Jesus. And so therefore, there's choices that you're going to make in these coming days where you can invite His grace to come upon you and compel you to make all the right choices, and it's without effort. So ask for more grace. I've been praying for more grace for our ministry partners, for all of you, for example, that are connected to our ministry as premium subscribers and as people who love the ministry and that. We just pray over you for a blessing on your life. Now, he said to me, this is 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul, who's known as the Apostle of Grace, said, Jesus said to me, so these words came directly from Jesus, and I want you to receive these words as though they're coming right to you right now. Jesus said to me, my grace, in other words, his power working in your life to fulfill his wisdom, okay? My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, it's all you need. His grace is all you need. So think about your prosperity. Think about going to the next level. What do you need to go to your next level? You need more grace. You need operating grace. You need God at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He said, my grace is sufficient for you for power. That word power there is dunamis. And it actually means miracle working power. So if you need a miracle right now, it says, my grace is sufficient for you for power, miracle working power. And honestly, it means excellence of soul or moral excellence. So right choices, in other words. And it also means the influence of wealth. It's the ability, the power to create wealth, okay? And the influence that comes from that. So he says, my grace is sufficient for you for power, miracle working power that brings excellence of soul and that provides you with the influence of wealth is perfected, is made complete, operative in weakness. And that weakness is infirmity. It could be your financial weakness. It could be the status of, even if you find yourself in the realm of poverty, it says his grace is sufficient for you to have a big change, a shift in your life. For power is perfected in weakness. Then he says this, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that, not so that he can stay in it. You don't say, oh, I'm just boasting in my poverty because this is the realm I live. No, you don't boast in a realm to stay in it. You boast in it according to the bigness of God, saying, Lord, I praise you that I can't do anything about my situation right now. It's out of my hands, but you are great. I humble myself before your mighty hand because this situation is too big for me, but it's not too big for you. So he's saying, I'm boasting in my weaknesses. Why? So that the power, your power, so that the power of Christ, Christ means the anointed one and his anointing, the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens, may dwell in me. Now that word dwell means to come upon me from above like a tent. Whoa. It means to come upon me like a tent and to surround me and to fill me. So if we apply this to a place of financial status that you want to grow in, you could say, Lord, I'm boasting in my financial weakness right now or in the realm that I'm currently in because you are greater than where I am and you're going to take me out of this realm just like you did the children of Israel. You're going to lead me all the way through this realm into the realm of prosperity, the realm of abundance. You are going to do this and it's going to come upon me like a tent. It's going to come upon me like as a gift from you. It's not about my effort. It's about how great you are. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm just flipped out over that scripture. I meditate on it every single day right now. I just love it. So you are going on to your next realm. Say that out loud. I am going on to my next realm. Because we go from glory to glory. God wants you to go from glory to glory, and you are. You're going on to your next realm. Now, 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper. In all respects. So that includes money. But money, remember, is not to be idolized because you don't find it in heaven. It's an earthly currency. It's not to be idolized, but God wants you to prosper in all respects. So that can include money. It can include your strength, your anointing levels, your gifting, your relationships, your health. He says, I want you in all respects to prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So as your soul delights in the Lord, as your soul is made large with revelation of the goodness of God, as your soul receives the moral excellence that comes from the grace visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will then enlarge in prosperity and health in every area of your life. So meditate on that scripture and believe it. Don't let it just stay up here. Let it become part of you. So it's living substance on the inside of you. It's something that you really, really believe. So you might want to write down later. Just write this down in your notes. And by the way, we're going to have a question and answer period for the last half hour of the webinar. So if you have any questions, just write questions at xpmedia.com. Send them off and we'll look at those, because I know there's many areas that you might want to ask specific questions into, and we invite you to do that. And for those of you that came on late right now, I just want to welcome you. And we actually just got started. We're just doing this, laying the foundation about how God wants you into the realm of prosperity, to have more than enough, out of the land of not enough, through the land of just enough, and into the land of more than enough. And he wants you to know that money is not a god to be worshipped. You won't find it in heaven. It's got nothing to do with heavenly currencies, heavenly exchange. We exchange in the heavenly realm with our faith. But in the earth, he says that, how can you be faithful with true riches if you haven't been faithful with unrighteous mammon? So he actually uses unrighteous mammon, which is money in the world system, to allow you to exercise your stewardship, your integrity, you know, your faith. You know, it's just something that you can exercise with. But in itself, at the end of the day, it amounts to nothing, and you sure can't take it to heaven with you. So he wants to see how you steward what he gives you in the earth. But he does want to bless you in all respects, which means he wants to bless you financially. But he doesn't want it to be a god. He doesn't want you to chase after it. He doesn't want it to be everything to you. He wants to give you true success. So just write out then what prospering in all respects means to you and what that looks like in your life. Because God's promise for your prosperity is greater than meeting your financial needs. Jesus is referred to in the Bible as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. The Lord who provides. Invite him right now to become your God of provision. You see, because he is all in all to us. God is multifaceted. He has many aspects to him. You know, he's the all-wise God. He's full of wisdom and power and might and counsel and intellect, knowledge, understanding, everything. He's full of grace and love, compassion, mercy. He is all things to all of us, okay? But he wants you to establish that aspect of himself as your provider in your heart, in your mind, over your life, that you would honor him and establish him as your God who provides, so that you're not looking to idolize anything else. You're not looking for money to provide for you. You're not looking to your employer to provide for you. You're not looking to your retirement plan to provide for you. You are looking to Jehovah Jireh, your God over your provisional aspect of your life. So establish him as that now. And if he hasn't been there, if you haven't been turning to him, if you have never acknowledged him as your God of provision, ask him to forgive you for being so blindsided. And now just take some time saying, Jesus, you now are my God of provision. I am not going to trust in any other thing. You first above all else, okay? And he will lead you and he will guide you. As I said earlier, he meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He gives you life in abundance, John 10:10. He came to give you life. He says, it's a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that you would have life and that you would have it in abundance, the life of more than enough in the realm of prosperity. In fact, I want you to say out loud, prosperity. Say it. Prosperity. And say prosperity is a holy word. You know, the devil hates it, so he has Christians hating that word. I know why, because he doesn't want us to prosper. But God wants us to prosper. So say it. Say it with honor unto God. Say it with fullness of faith. Say it with confidence. And then say, I am prosperous, because that is what you're called unto. In John 15, 7 to 8, the scripture teaches us that God wants us to be fruitful in everything in life. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, it says that he will cause blessings to come upon us and overtake us. It says, to whoever obeys all the commandments of the Lord. Well, we sure haven't, but Jesus did. Jesus obeyed all the commandments of the Lord. And so all the blessings of the kingdom have come upon him and overtaken him. And he said, if you're in me, I've given you my righteousness, and all these blessings are also yours. I give them to you. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amazing. In Joshua 1:7, it teaches us that God desires us to succeed in everything that we do and everywhere that we go. That's your portion. That's what you are called to. Let me define success for you. This is out of the dictionary. It means the favorable or prosperous condition of attempts, projects, or endeavors. And it is also the attainment of wealth. Now, wealth isn't money necessarily, but it could be lands and houses and oil fields and, you know, things that you attain that come from God. Wealth. The attainment of wealth, position, honor, accomplishments, and fruitfulness. God's will for you is to prosper. There is no provisional mediocrity in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. There is abundance, though, beyond measure. So let his kingdom come and let his will be done in your life right now. Say it out loud. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life in the earth as it is in heaven. And that includes prosperity. That includes abundance. Now, here are some of the struggles that sometimes Christians have because they've been believing a lie concerning God's heart in this matter. They might believe that God wants you poor in order to keep you humble. And if you relate to any of these, you might want to write them down and then renounce them later. But also write the truth about them. Because God doesn't want you poor in order to humble you. You know what will humble you? When you look at the greatness of God and then you say, oh my Lord, you're so great, you're so awesome, you're so loving, you're so kind, and I am without you that love. I'm so undeserving, and yet you lavish yourself on me. That is true humility, you know, and being able to receive what he has for you. Another thing that people sometimes get the scripture wrong, they say that money is the root of all evil, but it doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you believe that money is the root of all evil, of course you're not going to want to have much to do with it. But it's just the love of money. And I don't know about you, but I don't love money. Money is like, I'm not impressed with money. Even when sometimes people will try to let you know how much money they have, or it means so much to them, they're, you know, just always talking about their money. I'm not impressed with it, you know. I just think, well, if you've got money and you're using it to advance the kingdom, that's awesome. Or, you know, you're making this world a better place, that's awesome. But in itself, come on, it's nothing. Here's another one. Well, my parents and my grandparents were poor, and so it just runs in my family, it's my lot in life. No. Because when you're in Christ, you belong to his generation line in the spirit. You're connected to a new generation line. You don't have to accept a curse of a previous generation. In fact, in the name of Jesus, we forgive all the mistakes of those in your generation line. I don't care what they did. They might have stolen money from people. Maybe they belong to the Freemasons or whatever. But that's not you. You cut it off in Jesus' name. Forgive them. And then receive the blessing that comes direct from your umbilical cord, which is attached to Jesus Christ. Because you're a new creation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation. You've got a brand new generation. You are a chosen generation. the Bible says. You're chosen in Jesus. Here's another one. Maybe some of you might relate to this. You have made financial mistakes that created the consequence of poverty that you live in now, and you believe that you deserve it. So you've been beating yourself up ever since with condemnation, saying, well, I made the mistake. I made the wrong investment. I signed for the loan that I shouldn't have. So what? That can go under the blood, and God can make a way for you. But don't have in your belief system a set of beliefs that says, well, it's just, I deserve it. I just have to live with it. Because there's mercy in God to turn that whole thing around. And he can. Don't forget, in his grace, there is miracle working power to shift things for you. Get a hold of that in faith right now and just believe God for transformation. Next, you might believe, well, I don't have a higher education so that I have limits on my employment opportunities. And that is not true either. You know, there's lots of opportunities that you can have without a lack of education being involved. But if you need more education to fulfill your desires, God can find the way for you to get that. You know, don't ever put a limit on or a cap on what you can believe God to do. Another one might be, well, I'm in debt and I can't see my way out of it. I'm just stuck. No, God can get you out of debt, and he can give you a plan on how to get completely delivered from it. Don't worry even about how much time it takes, because in the time that it takes to get yourself out of debt, you will be learning things, you'll be developing things, and, you know, characteristics on the inside of you that will make you stable, so that by the time you get out of your debt, you're going to be wiser, and God will restore the years that the locust devoured. But make those years count for you. And, you know, a lot of times, people make a mistake that when they make a bad financial decision, they find themselves overwhelmed in debt. Then they try to get out of it very quickly. So they'll say, oh, well, maybe I can, you know, that's what gamblers do. I'll just go gamble and maybe I'll get it back. That is a trap from the enemy. Some people have gone, well, I'm going to make this quick investment and maybe I'll get more. And a lot of times con artists, they can target people who have that drivenness on the inside of them to, oh, you know, I'm kind of afraid of where I am right now because I'm in so much debt, but I can get out of it quickly. Maybe if I make a good quick investment and it looks like, wow, this is going to be amazing, and it just gets you in deeper. Slow and steady wins the race. Good stewardship, honesty, hard work. Those are the things that God wants to develop inside of you so that you have the integrity and the wisdom and the know-how on how to steward your finances later after, you know, you finish the journey of paying that debt off. You can do it. Get a plan. And he can even prosper you in the process, you know. So get a plan. If you're in debt, get a plan to be faithful in it, even if it's a little bit each month. Just make sure that you're being faithful in that, and God can work the rest of it. He can work a miracle. Here's another lie that you might have in your mind. I have a limit. I have a limited income. Maybe, you know, you are, you know, a pensioner, and you think, well, I've got to live on my pension. You never have a limited income. Never. Why? Because the potential in the kingdom of God is unlimited. You just have to reach into the fullness of what God has for you. You never have to be on a limited income. Now, if you are receiving government support or whatever, be honest. Like, don't be on a welfare system and they say that you have to report all your income and then you pocket extra income and you don't let them know about it. That's not going to prosper you. That's going to dig you into a grave. If you signed up to be on that program, be honest in that program. Walk with integrity in it, and then believe God for the miracles to come right to you to do the rest of it, because he can make them all happen. And it might be that he would want you to just go for something better than what you could ever get on that system that you are in. But be honest. I've heard people say that are receiving government support, they signed up for a system, they signed on the dotted line saying, yes, I'll only receive this much money, and if I make this much, I'll report it and I'll have it deducted. And they say, I can't report that, because if I report that, I'll lose all my welfare check. Well, isn't that a good thing? You know, you're either going to be in the system of poverty under that slavery or not. So you have to make up your mind. But please live kingdom and have integrity on everything. report everything that church report. You know, otherwise you're just asking for a not enough level. I had a friend who was struggling so much and was getting assistance from different areas, and she was so afraid of losing the assistance that she didn't want to prosper. You know, she was afraid to get a job because it would cut her off of the certain concessions she had. And I thought, well, just believe God to go all the way. And over the years, she just dug herself into a pit. And once you dig yourself in, it's, you know, you make your bed so you have to lie in it. Now, it's never too late, but, you know, you have to undo a lot. So learn early the lessons that you need. And for goodness sake, be honest. You can't expect for God's prosperity to come upon you when you're being dishonest. You can't expect that. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." More abundantly, it says it in some verses. So just meditate on a lot of these scriptures. I've already shared some of them with you. And God wants definitely for you to prosper. God is true. Remember that. If God said it, He is true. But the devil is a what? He is a liar. And he is the father of lies. So those temptations that are contrary to God's truth are lies. And you don't want to step into a lie because the lie will always bring you down. You are destined to prosper because God loves you. And that's what he has for you. Now, the next thing we want to look at is how to explore what you actually own. And you know what? You own more than what you know. Most Christians don't even fully comprehend all that belongs to them. But if you don't have ownership, you won't be able to steward. So if you don't know what you have, how can you steward it? You have to start thinking right, believing that what God says is true. So in Psalm 24, it says, "All the earth is the Lord's, the fullness of it, all that it contains, and all that dwell therein." It all belongs to the Lord. I was driving down a highway one time in Victoria, British Columbia. We were going up the island, and I was looking. It was just a beautiful day, and we were looking at the ocean and the different flowers and the green grass. It was so beautiful, and I was meditating that morning on Psalm 24. I said, "Oh, God, this is so beautiful, and it's all yours. It's all yours. It's beautiful. All of this earth is yours and the fullness, all it contains, all that dwell therein." And he spoke to me. He says, "And yes, and that means it's yours too because you're a joint heir with me. What I own, you own." And I tell you, the light went on the inside of me, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is my island. And I came to realize that if I knew what belonged to me, if I knew that something really belonged to me, I could steward it. It's like if you're just renting a house and you don't own the house, you know, you might be comfortable living in the house, but you don't go and, you know, build an extension on it, or, you know, you're limited what you can do even for decorating and renovating and stuff because you don't own it. But if you own it, you have rights to that house, you know? So when you take ownership of what you have been given in the kingdom, you'll start to live differently. You're not just hanging out in life. You're taking stewardship because you understand ownership. So God, He's given you everything. Do you realize that? Do you realize that He's given you everything? It says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So all the blessings in the heavenly places are yours. You can download them, actually, using the currency of your faith to receive and download with intentionality. If you haven't got our Glory School, get it and learn how to get the downloads, you know? Learn how to bring what's in the heavenlies down into the earth. Marcella, can I ask you to turn the air con on in the studio here? I'm under the studio lights, and they are so hot right now. So if you hear the air conditioner, that's all it is. It's just a little buzz that'll go on to keep me cool as I'm talking to you, okay? We'll turn it off maybe in a little bit, too, so it doesn't aggravate you. Okay, and also 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "Blessed be the Lord, because He's blessed us with everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And we have actually been given the great, exceeding, and precious promises, every single one of them so that we can live by them. And it says, if you live by them, you will partake of the divine nature. Now, God wants you to start thinking like Him. You're not an ordinary human being. You are destined for financial success because of who your God is and because He has given you everything. Okay? So He has given you all that He has, and He's given you all that He is. Now, I could unpack this big time right now, but because we're in just a webinar and I don't have a whole day to spend with you at this time, I am not going to go into all that is involved in the covenant that you have, but study it up because you have an eternal, unbreakable covenant of blessing with God. Get in the zone book that tells you how to live in that blessing realm. Get Step Into Supernatural Provision book, because that'll show you how to secure some of these promises, and get Create Your World book. And those three books are going to set you in a pattern of thinking that will transform the realms that you live in. They really will, because it's the truth of God's word. But I don't have time to go into it now. Now, I want to make this statement, though. You are a child of God now. You do not have an orphan spirit. Now, you are a child of the Creator of the universe. And start thinking like a child. I mean, a child of the wealthiest being in the whole universe doesn't live like a pauper. That would be dishonoring to your father. You know, you go into your father's kitchen and open up the fridge and it's there for you. You know, all those blessings. He said you can already have them. But if you don't understand that you own them, you will never steward them. And many Christians have an orphan spirit because they don't understand who they are and what they have. And I break that orphan spirit off of you right now in the name of Jesus. And you're a child of the King. And you say, well, my daddy looks after me. I'm going to receive some of these blessings He told me to enjoy because I'm going to steward them because I own them. Okay? So you might want to make a list of what you already possess and thank God for it. A spirit of thankfulness is so important, you know? So important, because many times we just take for granted the blessings of God. It says, count your blessings. Remember that song? Count your blessings, name them one by one, you know? Count your blessings, all that God has done. You know, just bless Him all the time, because that spirit of thanksgiving actually opens portals of provision for you. Now, quickly, I want to talk about two realms of resistance to your financial and provisional success. Two realms of resistance to your financial and provisional success. And remember, you can write into questions at xpmedia.com. We'll be answering questions in, let's see, another 10 minutes. But the first realm of resistance is demonic resistance. It's when the enemy wants to entice you and ensnare you through temptation. So temptations like spending money that you don't have, getting into debt because you want something even though you can't afford it, you want it. And so you get into debt and try to make payments on it. You know, he can tempt you to do that. Wasteful or careless spending. Oh my gosh. We waste so much money all the time. You can waste money on electricity, on food. You know, I was calculating one time just that you could save $300 a month by packing your own lunch at work sometimes, rather than going out for lunch every day. If you did not buy that latte every day, you could save, you could save $150 a month. You know, just on food alone, you could probably save $400 a month. Have you shopped around the outside of the store and made a list of exactly what you needed and planned your menu out carefully? You could save another $300 a month. I tell you, there is so much waste. And Jesus is not a wasteful God. That's why He wants to teach you good stewardship of the unrighteous mammon. Even when He provided the miracle for the loaves and the fishes, He had them pick up every little fragment that was left over. And it filled all the extra little fragments. It filled 12 baskets full. That's because they didn't waste. We can save $100, $200 a month just on electricity. by being a good steward. I'm not talking about living in fear and living in a poverty mentality that says, oh, I can't keep my house cool or I can't keep my house warm in the winter because, you know, I got to save my money. No, I'm talking about I get to be a good steward of what God's given me. I'm not going to throw money away when I could use this unrighteous mammon to do righteous works, right? And so you become a good steward. You're not wasteful. You look for ways to make the penny stretch and things like that because you're looking for ways to steward. Another way that you could be tempted is by failing to honor God with the first and the best, with your tithe. You know, the enemy can say, oh, you don't want to tithe. You know, God doesn't need your money. In fact, how are you going to pay your bills and how are you going to get your desires fulfilled if you give the top 10% away? And he can tempt you into that, but it'll actually keep you. It'll be a sabotage of your financial prosperity. And the more you get, the more you are called to steward it well. Failure to sow financially into the kingdom, and that's beyond your tithe. That's like sowing and reaping. And I'm not going to have time tonight to go into that, but you've heard lots of sermons on it. And if not, get my book, Step Into Supernatural Provision. Get that book. It's so good. And it tells you testimony of the glory and the supernatural provision of lining up with what God shows you in the scripture. It's awesome. But so financially, because that's how in the kingdom we have return on our investment, is to intentionally sow to get kingdom advancement, but also return. And it happens. Another one is failure to plan and set financial goals. Now, again, I'm not going to have time in this teleseminar or in this webinar to go into this whole thing, but it's extremely important to have a goal before you and write it down. What do you want? Like, let's say, for example, you wanted to go on a vacation, let's say a cruise, and the cruise was going to cost you $1,500. Well, put that goal before you for an entire year and then make a plan of action on how you're going to save up that $1,500 to go on the cruise in the next year. Now, you could look at a cruise and say, I really want to go on a cruise. Oh, what the heck? I'll just put it on my Visa card. Now you've stepped into a poverty spirit. Why? Because you're spending money now and enjoying a pleasure that you don't have the goods for. And that's an enticement from the enemy. You just put yourself under the control. It says the borrower is a slave to the lender. You've just become a slave now to the Visa company. In the spirit, you have a spirit of poverty on you because you spent beyond your means. And now it's going to take you a year or more to pay it back because there's interest on that loan now too. And so when you fail to plan and set good financial goals with a good plan of action, you can fall into the enticement of the enemy, the temptation of the enemy, where he can ensnare you with a poverty spirit. Don't spend money you don't have, okay? I feel really, really strong about that. Like, even like, you know, I knew, you know, a single mom, and she was doing such a great job of raising her children. It was awesome. But, you know, she wanted to bless the kids, you know, of course, with different things. And she didn't have the money even to buy them a Slurpee sort of thing, but she would just put it on her credit card. And before you know it, you know, enough Slurpees in a month, you think, oh, it's just a Slurpee. I'll just put it on my card. I'll just, you know, it's just $5 for the two of them. I'll just put it on my card. But then the next week it's there, and the next week it's there. And then, oh, well, they want to go to a show. We don't really have the money, but what's another $20? I'll just put it on my card. But all that, you're spending more than what you have. So at the end of the month, you still have the same bills to pay, but now you've got an extra bill that you cannot pay. You've just stepped into a spirit of poverty because you failed to do without. You failed to hold back on what you didn't have the money for. Now, if you had prayed, maybe someone would come up off the street and say, you know, I just feel led to buy your sons or your daughter a Slurpee, you know. But, you know, just don't spend money that you don't have. Another one is the failure to fulfill commitments. If you have made a financial commitment and you fail to fulfill that commitment like you said that you did, you've just stepped into resistance from the enemy, and he will ensnare you in a spirit of control. You make a commitment, you keep the commitment. Make sure you keep the commitment, because otherwise you will be ensnared by a spirit of poverty. Murmuring and complaining. Hello. What kept Israel in the wilderness for so long? What kept them in the land of mediocrity for so long where they couldn't go into the land of more than enough? It was their murmuring and their complaining, their lack of thanksgiving. Another one is lack of contentment. You know, it says that godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. If you want to gain financially, have a spirit of contentment. So you say, Lord, I'm so grateful for what I have. I'm content, but I'm believing for more. Now, the believing for more is awesome because it doesn't have that discontentment in it. You're content with what you have, but now you're going to go to the next level. I'm very, very content with what I have. I'm more than content with what I have, but am I going to stay where I am? No. I'm believing for more. I'm believing for beyond that. Not that I'm not content, but it's just that I know that my God's a God of increase and He delights when I increase. Does that make sense? The love of money. If you have a love for money and you live for money, I just got to get more money. I got to get more money. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. Oh, I'm just going to dream about my millions and stuff like that. If that's what consumes your thoughts, if that's what's on your mind all the time, you have a love for money, it's the root of all evil. So you're not going to go very far with it. And a lot of people compromise values, integrity. They lie, they cheat, they do anything for money. And remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. You're putting your foot into a snare if you love it. And another one is depending on money to give you your worth, your value, your reputation, your status. Sometimes people go out and borrow on a, let's say, a high-end vehicle just because they think that high-end vehicle will give them status. It's God who gives you your status. Jesus came with nowhere to lay His head. He was the greatest being in the entire universe. No one has more worth than Jesus Christ. He didn't have a house of His own. He didn't have a place to lay His head. He didn't have a vehicle, okay? But He believed God for everything that He needed, and it was always there when He needed it. And so He didn't depend, even though He had everything that He needed. And I believe that He lived in abundance. He didn't live in poverty. He lived in abundance, but He believed for everything that He needed. Everything. Even if He wanted to feed a multitude of people, He could because of His faith. He did not depend on money at all to give Him His worth, His reputation, or His status. And if you're worshiping and idolizing those things, you are going to have a miserable life because those things will bring you down. Even if you were to obtain them and get them, they would make you miserable. So just trust God, worship Him, serve Him, live a good life before Him, and you will have all the other things. He will make sure. Okay, so the one realm of resistance to your financial and provisional success is demonic resistance. The second one is mishaps and crisis. And so sometimes there can be, let's say, a sickness in a family that starts compromising your financial well-being and puts demand on your finances. That's what we're talking about, a mishap or a crisis. A war, a regional or national economic crisis, natural disasters like, you know, we've seen earthquakes totally devastate regions and where the whole nation can suffer financially because of even having to look after the poor of that region. So not only do the individuals suffer, but nations even suffer, okay, because of the mishaps and the crisis. Termination of employment. Sometimes people are terminated unexpectedly from their employment position. Now, we can't trust our employment position to be our source. We need to trust God to be our source. And so that's number one. Thank you, Shirley. I've got some questions that have come in. We'll get to these in just a moment. I just have a few more things I want to be able to share with you. Termination of employment can be a crisis that changes your life overnight. That's why I start believing now that God is your source. Well, I remember one time when our kids were little, my husband came home and said, well, our company laid off everyone right now just before Christmas. And it was 3 weeks before Christmas. And I said, hallelujah. It's going to be interesting to see how God provides for us. And as a young family, you know, you're just kind of living for the most part from paycheck to paycheck, but we knew how to live by faith. So praise the Lord. A family breakup or a death or unexpected breakdown such as vehicle, equipment, furniture, home damages that need repairs, increased expenses like maybe an increase in your rent or your mortgage payment or the price of food and utilities or gas escalating. I've heard people say, oh my gosh, the gas prices are going up. We won't be able to afford it. That should never be the testimony of a kingdom child. You can afford anything at any time. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you even paid, you know, $1,000 a gallon for gas, and right now certain cheeses are expensive from, you know, overseas, like European cheeses are really expensive. Some of them are $32 a pound, whatever. People say, oh, we could never afford that. We're not going to be able to buy. If you have the leading of the Lord to buy it, if you feel clearance in your spirit, you can buy anything. You know, just use wisdom in your spending, but be careful not get into a crisis mentality that makes you feel like you're trapped and can't do what your spirit desires to do. And I'm not saying to go out and buy expensive cheese, because that might not be the wisest thing for you right now, but I'm saying the mentality has to be there that, you know, you're a child, don't forget, a child of the God of all the universe. So it doesn't matter how much the cheese is, you can get it. You're like Solomon. Labor disputes that keep you from working temporarily. So those are different examples of mishaps or crisis. And I just want to say that when you are, when I'm coaching you into financial success, one of the things I'd say is trust God for everything. If a crisis comes, say, glory to God. He has a way out. He has a way through, not only just to get us through, but to keep us in the land of more than enough. And if you lock into that, and if there's no other option for you, then you're creating a realm that God can move in. He can come on you like a tent, because you're boasting in your weakness, so that is power, can manifest and bring you into the greater dimension. Okay, laws of stewardship. We talked a little bit about the tithe, the sowing and reaping, and your faithfulness. You know, the scripture says, if you're faithful in a little, you'll be given much. And so in the finance, it's really important to be faithful. So even if you have a little bit of finance, a lot of times people will set financial goals and they're way out there. Yeah, I want to be a millionaire. Well, first of all, ask yourself why you want to be a millionaire. But even if that is the case, are you faithful with your $10 right now? And if you're in business, like I've seen entrepreneurs, they'll start with, like, I have a friend who has a little jewelry company. They started making jewelry. And then they had saved up some money to buy the little beads and that, and made a few pieces of jewelry and sold it. Took that money, you know, they had a positive cash flow of like $30, I think it was. They went out and bought some more pieces to make more jewelry. And there were just little bits of prosperity that came in, but they had enough to buy into their next level. Well, before you knew it, they were, you know, having a lucrative jewelry business. And it was really a blessing in many ways, because they had prayed over the jewelry, and so it was being a blessing to many people, making them look beautiful and everything. But at the same time, it was having a positive cash flow and helping them advance the kingdom in that way. So it was just win-win for everyone. But they were faithful with the little. And don't despise the days of small beginnings. And don't go out and just borrow large amounts of money, think it's going to come in, and think, well, I deserve to have this much money. In all of our businesses that we establish and the ministry, we always start out small. We sacrifice, we pray, we fight through all the resistance, we strategize carefully with the Lord, put our faith out the next step. We really are watchful not to overspend and just go where the clearance of our spirit is. And God has always prospered us and taken us to the next level. But you have to be watchful on those things and steward well the areas that God is giving you. And let's see where I went here. And take care of your possessions. That's another part of the stewardship. Take care of your possessions. So if you've got, like, let's say you bought a piece of equipment or something. You know, these days there's a lot of, like, media equipment that you can get, like computers or telephones and different things. But you're careless with it. It could get broken, or it doesn't last as long as it should. And so it's going to cost you more money. You're being a poor steward. So even if you were to have more money, you would probably just wreck the stuff you buy with it anyway. So practice being a good steward of what you have and care for your positions. Possessions, I mean. Another one is diligence. It says, the hands of the diligent make what? Rich. So it's not like being lazy or doing things half-hearted or not going the extra mile. And, you know, if you want success even in the workplace, you want to make sure that you put your all into it. And By the way, if you are feeling that you're in a transition and that you're going to be moving on, make sure that you finish strong where you are. Because your exit, if you exit weak, you'll enter your next realm weak. If you exit strong and faithful and loyal, then you'll enter your next realm strong and faithful and loyal. Oh my gosh, there's so many questions coming in. Well, I've got so much more material, but I hope you're getting coached into some good things off of this. Another thing, just quickly, be careful with investments. If you're going to make an investment, search it out very carefully. Remember, when you make an investment into an endeavor or something, you're taking a risk always. So it has to be money that you're not afraid of investing and maybe not seeing the full return that you're looking for, okay? So make sure of that. And make sure that you do the research, the proper research on it, so that it is a clean thing and it's not going to leave you in a difficult place. Okay. Okay, let's just start on some of these questions because we only have about 20 minutes left. But this is from Ija. Thank you. It says, do you believe in investing in retirement? I believe in following through with whatever God is showing you to do. Now, I don't trust the world system for anything. When people are saying, oh, you can invest in this, it'll be a sure investment, I'm thinking, nothing's sure in the world system. Anything can destroy that system. But if you are feeling the clearance in your spirit to put your money into something and you're in partnership with the Lord and you feel the Lord leading you to do it, then by all means, follow through with that, okay? Because you're helping other people even, you know, with your investment, you're helping other people be taken care of at the time as well. And, you know, so like I was saying to one of our staff members, like we have medical insurance with our ministry. And so I say, you know, I'm believing that we don't need medical insurance. But the way I look at it is if I'm sowing into it, then I'm helping other people get well, helping other people, because that money will help other people. We pray over the money that's invested into the program to make sure it goes for good, right? And that's with anything that you put into the world system, pray over it so that it goes to the world's good. But as far as retirement goes, if I can say this, is I personally have no plan to retire. In fact, I was praying about our latter years just a week ago, and the Lord says, you don't need any retirement, you know, because my husband and I have just sown everything back into the kingdom, our whole Christian life. You know, we don't have anything put away for retirement, actually. And the Lord says, you don't ever have to think about it because you're never going to retire, you know. But he says, I'll look after you all the days of your life. Now, I just trust God to do that. And I'm not really hung up on anything. I'd be as happy living on a tent in the middle of a desert as in a big house or whatever. I know my God's going to look after me, but what is God saying to you, okay? What is God saying to you? So do what God is giving you clearance for, but I wouldn't trust in any retirement. I wouldn't trust in anything in the world system, to be honest with you. Some people say, well, if you trust in gold, it's a given. If you trust in silver, it's a given. Any buying or selling on the world system, it might turn out good, it might not turn out good, but one thing that will turn out good is your God, is your God. Okay, this is from Marsha. Hi, Marsha. Wonderful to have you on the call tonight. And this is good. She says, I work, pray, and give tithes and offering. I give 40 to 70% of my earning money to God. That is amazing, amazing. I ask God how and where to give. What should I expect from him? Deep inside me, I want to see my hierarchy of needs met. I long for paying loans off, shift part-time to full-time earning, mortgage a small-sized house for myself, but seems to be moving very slow. What should I do and how should I pray? God bless you. Well, for one thing for sure, if you've been sowing in faith, you can reap in faith. And it might be that God will move you into an intentional reaping season. Now, we have found that every year God will give us faith for a new realm of giving and also new ways of giving as well. And so you might want to pray about that. But also, is this a time that you intentionally start reaping and saying, God, I call in this, I call in this, I call in this, and start focusing on specific things with your faith? And it could be that God will even tell you, I want you to withdraw this much of the giving that you've been giving over the years. So maybe even 1 year, he might even say, now, instead of giving this 70%, I would like you to give 20% here, and then I want you to sow back into this need that you have out of that, you know. So just follow him and see what he shows you to do. But I would say seek him directly. Put all your needs out there and start going after those with intentionality in reaping. It's like a farmer, when his field is ready for harvest, which I think yours is, he takes his sickle and he starts intentionally reaping that field. If he doesn't, he's got a field full of harvest, but it rots because he didn't bring it in. So the Lord says, bring it in. So, and call those needs met. And be faithful with paying those loans off. And he might have you, yeah, say, you know what? I want you to continue to honor me with the first and the best. I want you to sow this much, but I want you to use this much and this much and this much to pay off this and this and this. And he'll give you a plan for really good stewardship so that you can enjoy the fullness of all that he has for you. God bless you, and I proclaim prosperity over you. This is from Renee. It says, is poverty a curse carried from past generations? And Renee, yes, it can be. It doesn't have to be from past generations. It can start afresh with a new generation, but it can be. And it's usually a mindset of poverty, but I would refuse it in the name of Jesus. If you're struggling with it and you see the pattern of it in past generations, say, Father, I forgive whoever it is in my past generations that maybe didn't believe your promises or maybe didn't handle crisis well or maybe made a pact with the enemy in some way. I forgive them. I put the blood on it and I cut myself free from that generational transference of curse. I align myself with you, Lord, and I receive the blessing. And do that intentionally and proclaim the blessing. Now, in our book, The Decrees, it's called Decree a Thing and It Will Be Established. You can get it online. When you decree the blessing ones over that, decree it over your life 10 times a day, even if you can, until that word starts to produce the fruit. Whenever you proclaim the word over your life, it will produce the fruit of that word. So if you have a decree book, take that one on the blessing of God, and there's one on provision there too, and decree those a number of times a day until you see the manifest glory of that word start to manifest within your life. And it will shift. You will shift out of poverty into prosperity because it's what you were created for. And again, I want to really encourage people to get the book, Step Into Supernatural Provision. If you have the book, Help God, I'm Broke, the Step Into Supernatural Provision is the same. I changed the title on it and upgraded it a little bit, but it's basically the same book. So the content on Help God, I'm Broke is really good there too. Okay, Sarah Marie. Thank you for sending this in, Sarah Marie. She says, lately God has been teaching me about energy drinks, cooking food, spending money on things that are godly. My husband has been spending his money on comic books, Dungeons and Dragons books, comic book games. How should or what should I do to help him get his mind onto God to not spend money on those worldly evil things? How would God bless us with what we do with this money? Is what I spend money or spend time with the Lord more going to help him? Well, one thing is your prayers will make a difference, but have you lovingly entreated him? You probably already have had a talk with him and show him how those things could be harming the household, especially if it's like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that that have demonic influence. You don't want to bring those curses into the family. But also, as you intercede and ask God's forgiveness and blood upon it, a revelation can hit your husband. Pray that the light goes on the inside of him. And another thing that might help is sometimes it's hard when you say, thou shalt not. It puts people's resistance up. But if you say, hey, let's work together on a financial goal that we can work together on, and how can we save money in different ways to support that goal. So make a goal together and then maybe suggest, okay, you sacrifice this and I'll sacrifice this, and together we will save this money to accomplish our goal. And then it gives you a partnership in the spirit to work on. So that might help you a bit. This one's from Roberta. Hello, Roberta. Thank you for writing in, and thank you for all of you. I hope we get to do these. And if our time is up, I'll continue to read these, and hopefully we can just get them up in the archives. And for those of you that are premium subscribers or premium plus subscribers, and I know that many of you are on because of the gift we gave you this month. I'm so excited. I love giving. And it was my pleasure to give you this month of premium membership or premium plus, whichever one you chose. And I hope that you're really enjoying all the benefits, because we built them for you, and we're just excited about building this media mountain for the body of Christ and to really bless you. We want to bless you more. And for those of you that are going to be continuing on after your free month, continuing on with the subscription, we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. And from those of you, for those of you that already are subscribers, thank you so much, because your monthly subscription fees help us so much. In fact, the top 10% goes to children at risk right now over in Cambodia, but we support children at risk all over the world. And also, it helps us produce more media to feed the nations with and to support media evangelism. And so it's like your $10 a month or your $15 a month seed is going into kingdom advancement in a massive way. And you're allowing thousands and thousands of people every single day to get the gospel that maybe they never would have been fed before. We have people from all over the world give us testimonies that they're even in ministry today, and even Muslim nations, because of xpmedia.com reaching them. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. And you're like family to us. We pray for you, and we're so excited to have you on board with us. And you're awesome. And I'm really glad that you're taking advantage of this month's blessing. And for those of you that are subscribers, either premium or premium plus, you actually get the archives of this session for free. So you can go back into it and get it for free if you're a premium or premium plus subscriber. Now, for those of you that are not subscribed and you actually paid for this webinar, God bless you too. But I would like to invite you to become a premium subscriber or premium plus. In fact, for a month, we'll give you a free subscription. And I believe that's easy to hook up to online. I hope so. I'm just thinking of something right now, but go for it anyways and try it. And if it works out that you don't get the free, just pay for it, because your $10 will go to a really good cause. But anyways, I would like to encourage you to sign up, because you can get these webinars every month for free with your membership. They're just included in it. So instead of paying $20 for every month, and we're going to have some wonderful speakers on. We've got prophets that we're planning on bringing on, and, you know, just awesome men and women of God, and professional life coaches and everything to give you the very best that we can prepare for you. So you get those every month, plus the archives. So you get to go back into past webinars as well, as many as you want, even past conferences. It's just awesome, the amount of tools we have for you. And for those of you that are the Premium Plus subscribers, you also get monthly mentoring and life coaching videos and all kinds of different articles and tips and archives into the life coaching section. And it's a real blessing for you as well. And it's only 15 something a month. It's just like pennies a day, really, for any of those subscriptions. But what it helps us do is build a media network for Jesus in the earth. And you're part of it. Not only do you feed your spirit, but you get to advance the kingdom through it. So I'm excited about that for you. Anyways, let's go back to Roberta here. How do I learn how to adapt an abundant outlook, not just for finances, but for everything? I love you, Roberta, and I love that question. One of the things is by the renewing of the mind. Get your theology straight. And again, I want to say, get in the zone, which is How to Live in the Blessings of God. It's a great book. Get Step into Supernatural Provision. and Create Your World. Those three books, as well as The Decree, will help you tremendously because you want to renew your mind. You want to make sure that you're rightly discerning the scriptures, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you will think prosperity, if you will think the abundant life that God says in his word and study out those scriptures, your mind will get renewed. And then as your core beliefs change, so also will your whole life change, because it'll line up with what you believe. So I hope that helps you. Here's another one. Amanda, we only have a few minutes left on the live broadcast. When is giving too much? I live in a very poor area in Panama, and ministry is so great. I think I've given away the goose instead of her golden eggs. Yikes. And yes, you have to pray. Sometimes we give emotionally, but I like to give with that clearance in my spirit from the Holy Spirit. He's your partner. So he's with you in the earth. He's your helper. He's the one that comes alongside and really gives you support. So just ask him, what do you want me to give into this situation? And if you want me to give, how much? And a lot of it will come from your heart saying, I really desire to give into this. Will you give me a witness, Holy Spirit? You know, and just walk with him in partnership, and that will help you rightly divide those needs. This one's from Eric. Hello, Eric. It says, will the replay of the webcast be available? I'm having instances of the stream freezing on me. It may be on my end. Now, if you are a premium or premium plus member, yes, it will be available. But if you are having trouble, you paid for this webinar and you are having trouble, could you write back in to questions@xpmedia.com and let Ben know, or write Ben@xpmedia.com and let him know. And somehow, some way, we're going to find a way to get you that link so that you can watch it, because we do not want anyone to not be able to get what you signed up for. And I want to thank you so much for your input on that as well. Now, I just need some help here. I have a 3-minute sign. Does that mean that this whole thing shuts off in 3 minutes, or can I go later? Can I go a little bit later? Is that okay? Thank you. They're going to extend the time a little bit for me, because I don't think I can get these finished in 3 minutes. Okay, this one's from Stephanie. I was taught that money was the root of all evil, and that people with money, we call them rich, were selfish and inherently bad. How do you suggest that I break this mentality? Well, I'm going to start right now by rebuking that mentality in Jesus' name. I know some extremely wealthy people, and they are awesome, and they love God more than you could ever know, and they are some of the most generous people on the face of the earth. And, you know, so what's been told to you is a lie of the devil. Everyone stands before God on their own. I know some poor people that are, you know, mishandling money, and I know some rich people that don't handle their money well. I know poor people that are selfish and greedy. I know rich people that are selfish and greedy. It's just human nature, right? And you get to choose whether you're going to walk with God in integrity or not. And so to break that, study the scripture. Yay, I've got an extra 5 minutes or so that's awesome. Study the scripture, because the scripture says it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It does not say money is the root of all evil. It doesn't. In fact, unrighteous mammon, which is money, is your training ground. It is your testing ground. God will test your stewardship of money to see if you are able to be entrusted with true riches, true authority in the kingdom of God. And so that's how you can break that mentality. But I'm going to help you by just rebuking it too in Jesus' name. And I think you're awesome, Stephanie, and I can see that things are going to turn around for you. God wants you to live in abundance, and you'll meet a lot of wealthy people who are just so amazingly awesome. Okay, this is from, I guess, Vran. R-V-A-N. I don't know how to pronounce your name, but thank you for writing in. It says, I feel like I've been in transition from the land of mediocrity in finance into the land of plenty for quite some time now. I know that prosperity is mine in Jesus, and I see myself there. How do I make the now connection, or maybe the new connection? Why do you believe you were tested in finance for that 5-year period? I believe that we were tested with a demonic resistance. The demons knew what we were going to do worldwide with God's finance once we had it, because the devil could see our passion. And I sense that there's a lot of passion in you too. And so I believe that that's why it wasn't so much like God was saying, oh, I'm going to really give it to you. It was, he was saying to us, I'm giving you opportunity to overcome the enemy. Right after that 5-year period, he sent us into Tijuana with at 80% dire poverty in the area. And we overcame and blessed that entire city outrageously with caring for the poor and helping them get delivered from their poverty. You're about ready to go into your next level. Now, don't keep doing the same things you've always done or you'll get the same results. Ask God for a strategy to build into that new season. When you get your specific strategy, your specific goals, you will break in. You will break through. Amen. I hope that helps you. Okay, just a couple more. This one is from Amanda. It says, when is my giving too much? That sounds crazy, but I've given away almost most of our savings, and I now realize that there must be something about putting money into an interest-bearing account and giving the profits away. I feel like I not only gave away the golden eggs, but I also have given the goose away as well. I think this maybe is the same gal as before. I always ask the Lord and don't feel like I am an enabler. Okay, this is the same gal that lived in Panama. I can feel your desperation, and I think I gave you some really good wisdom just a few moments ago. So ask Holy Spirit to be your partner. You're going to be wise in your giving. Your generosity is amazing, but start calling back the increase now as well and setting some really good goals for yourself so that you have something to move toward. That's important. And then finally, this one's from Sandra. As of January, we returned from 10 years of missionary work in Africa. Prophetically, God told us to position ourselves here to get ready for the new assignment. We don't know with detail what the new assignment looks like. Any suggestions on how we could raise support when we're not yet ministering full-time? We're ministering part-time, but not with salary. We have come under another mission agency because the one we were with doesn't do home missions. We don't know how to effectively communicate our financial need. We have not asked for finances during our years in Africa. Presently, we've been using our line of credit to live on. Whoa, don't use your line of credit to live on. Don't. It's like high interest rate. Don't do it. You might need to go out and find a ministry in the marketplace. And that's part of what home missions is about too. But ask the Lord how to get your daily bread. When Ron and I were going through our time of just really with no visible means of support, God would give us ideas on how we could go out. We washed windows. We cut grass. We went out and said, let us help you and serve you. You don't even have to pay us if you don't want to. But we brought some food home each night, sometimes a little bit of money here, sometimes. And then God blessed it with miracles. So believe for the miraculous. If you're living on a line of credit, you're not in faith. You're in faith in your line of credit, but you're going into a poverty spirit. So do not use any more of that line of credit, but work on getting it paid off. God might need you in the marketplace too, and that might be part of what he brought you home for. And don't, think like even, I knew someone that worked in McDonald's that absolutely preached the gospel to so many people in there and turned the place around just through acts of kindness and acts of caring when people were in crisis. But, get a plan of action for your provision. Ask God what he wants you to do. And it's not always just getting support, a base of support from different people or a salary from a church or whatever. Sometimes it's something more creative than that. But I'm going to pray for you because we've been in a hard place with no visible means of support, and God showed us every day what to do. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my friends that they will know exactly what to do, that you will give them insight for every single day. Now, I want to pray for all of you to come into financial success, that there will be that monetary blessing coming into your hand from the power of God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless my friends. I bless them in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord God, that you would open up the heavens and pour down blessing. I break the power of a poverty spirit off of them in Jesus' name. I break the power of the mediocrity, and I call them forth into the land of more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next month. Rob Hodgkin is going to be just giving an awesome webinar next month that you'll want to sign up for sure. And those of you that are on the subscription list. Again, thank you. God bless you. Enjoy the site. Just get your spirit fed. And those of you that aren't yet, I just encourage you, sign